And they were terrified of not being able to make it. And it was all to try to earn their way into his love and earn his blessings. It was performance-based. And you know what? You can look at any false religion in this world, and you will find one common thread among all of them. They are all based on you trying to be good enough. They're all based on performance. If I can somehow just get this spiritual, maybe God will love me. Do you know what? God loves you. He has loved you from the foundation of the world. Before you even knew him, he loved you. Before you even came into this world, he loved you. Before this world even came into this world. Yeah, that's a mind bender. God loves you and has loved you with an everlasting love. It's not based on performance. Islam, huge religion, huge world religion, millions of people that belong to this faith. You know what? But they believe that they have to do all of these things to try to earn God's love and get into heaven. They have to, for instance, there's five main things, and I think Ian is probably be very familiar with some of these because you spent so much time among them out in the Middle East. You have to say the confession in Islam. You have to say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is a prophet or something like that. You have to pray five times a day before the sun comes up, in the middle of the morning, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the afternoon, and then in the evening. You have to pray five times. Stop what you're doing. You have to give alms, 2.5% of your money to the poor. You have to fast and go without food during Ramadan, which is the month of December. And you have to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. What in the world is that? Well, you got to, you know, go somewhere and arrive and then go back. You have to do all those things. Plus, you have to believe in Allah. You have to believe in angels. You have to believe in the Quran. You have to believe in Muhammad. You have to believe in Judgment Day. You have to believe in the afterlife. And after you've done all of those things, then you still have to do more good deeds than bad deeds to try to tip the balance in your scales. And after you've done all of that in your entire life, maybe, everybody say maybe. Maybe he might let you into heaven. Now that's not the truth. That's not real. That's not the way God really is. You can look at Buddhism, which is, you know, over in Asia. You see millions of people trying to follow that. And there's an eightfold path in Buddhism that they figure if they can do all these eight things, they might have a shot of reaching nirvana. They have to have right understanding. They have to have right resolve. They have to have right speech. They have to have right action. They have to have the right occupation. They have to have the right effort. They have to have the right contemplation and the right meditation. And it goes on and on and on. All these things they try to do to try to have peace with God rather than just receiving the free gift. And they never know if they've actually arrived. And so you see people all over the world doing all these religious deeds trying to cover up their sin, the things they do wrong, because they're living in fear. And it seems like the more sin they have, the more religious they get sometimes. It's amazing. You find somebody who's really religious, he might be trying to cover up a whole lot of sin. And you know, if you're a kid today, raise your hand. Okay, yeah. I love it. Yeah, we see all the guys raising. I don't think I saw any ladies, but the guys were up there, yeah. And their wives were like, yup, yup. If you're a kid today, you might think, wow, eightfold path, that's easy. I got a tenfold path in my life that I'm trying to live. It's the tenfold path of childhood. I got to clean my room, make my bed, feed the dog, go to school, do my homework, pick up my toys, take a bath, be nice to my sister, say my prayers, and eat my vegetables. That mother guy's got it easy. And what? Feed her cat, too. Change the cat litter. Man, that's like you're going up to almost like 12 or 13 at this point. And that might be true. That might be true. You might feel like you got an awful lot to do. But you know what? Here's the difference is. The difference is your mom and dad already love you. And you are already a part of their family. They're not putting that list up and saying, if you do those things, then maybe I'll love you. If you do those things, maybe I'll let you be a part of the family. They say, I love you, and I will always love you, and you will always be a part of my family. And sure, I'd like you to do those things because they're going to make you a better person, and they're going to make your life more fulfilled. You know, who wants a litter box full of cat poops all day long, man. You know, it'll be for the benefit and well-being of the entire household. But those don't determine whether you're my child. You will always be my son or my daughter, and my love for you will last forever. You were born into their family. You don't have to do anything to earn that. It's given to you as a free gift, and you can rest in their love. You can know that no matter what, you can always go to mom or dad, and they will love you. Isn't that true? You might get a spanking once in a while, but they do that because they love you. Absolutely. Absolutely. And likewise, the Lord wants us to follow Him with our lives, not so we can earn salvation, not so we can earn His love. He already loves us. He's already given it to us. But because we are His, He wants us to follow Him. Praise God. If we belong to Christ, man, then that's the way we ought to be walking, because His Spirit now is living inside of us. He's given us new life. But it's not to earn anything. That's a free gift. In fact, the Bible is very clear. In Romans chapter 6, 23, everybody say the red word with me. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ephesians 2, the cornerstone passage that everybody should know, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the..."
Yes.
Say it louder. "The gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Isn't it great to get a gift? Don't you love getting gifts? Who here loves to get a gift? Man, I'm like, Christmas time, bring it on. I love it, man. I love to give them too, but you know, it's fun when you get them. Yeah, even Jake loves to get gifts. And I'll bet Aaron, his buddy, loves it too, don't you? Yeah, he's shaking his head. Yeah, I love gifts, man. Bring it on. Praise God. But you know what? It even happens among Christians sometimes. People who know that we are saved by grace, by God's gift, through faith. It happens among Christians that sometimes, even though we're saved and we know that, we still try to make ourselves acceptable to God in our daily life based on our efforts. Think about that. God has given us eternal life. Fellowship with Him, the same fellowship the Son has had with the Father from eternity. And we receive it. We start on our journey by grace. You know what? It's a whole journey of grace. But sometimes we get a little off track, and because we so desperately want to do good and earn His blessings and get those things that He has for us, we find ourselves trying to earn those blessings in His love, even though we're already saved by grace, by His gift. Scott Cannell, a pastor friend of mine over on the Western Shore now, gave an excellent illustration. He could even say it better than me. He says, it's kind of like these guys you see on stage. I don't know, you probably have seen them before. They're called, they're plate spinners. You guys ever heard of these guys? They put these rods on the stage, and then they put plates on top of them, and then they begin to spin them. He says, you know, sometimes that's how we try to walk out the Christian walk. You know, we'll set up a thing, and we'll grab a plate, we'll put our rods out there, and we'll say, okay, well, we know we got to have some Bible study. Be a good Christian. You know, I know I got to study the Bible, so I'll put that plate on there. Half hour a day, I'm going to be studying the Word. I'll get up early, I'll get that thing spinning, and then I got to meditate on it too. I just can't read it. I got to meditate on it. So I'll get my other plate out, and I'll put that up there, and I'll spend some time kind of meditating on it. And then somebody says, well, you know, you got to have a prayer life if you're a Christian. You're, okay, yeah, you're right. I got to have a good prayer life. So another half hour a day, 40 minutes, I'm going to spend interceding for people and praying, and I get my plate out, and I keep that one spinning, and I got to keep this one spinning, and this one spinning, and I'm okay at this point, but then, you know, I got to have fellowship, so I got to go to church, you know, and participate in that. So I'll get my other plate out, and I'll put that on there, and I'll keep that thing spinning, and this one's now, I'm really busy keeping these four things spinning. Oh, but I also got to go to small group, compass group, so I can, you know, really have fellowship and really plug into people. So I'll get that plate out, and I'll get that one spinning. And whoa, this one, you know, I was at Compass Group, I didn't get to study the Bible and meditate, and well, dear God, please forgive me for not praying more. That counts for today. Okay, there was church Sunday, here's small group, and oh yeah, I got to take a class in, you know, at seminary so I can grow a little bit, be a better leader, so I'll put that plate over here and just give that a good spin and hope that gets spinning, and oh, yeah, you know what? We need to witness. We need to evangelize. So we need to be out on the street and passing out tracts and, whoa, you know, I got this plate and this one is about to fall. And, okay, I guess I can fit it in at, like, you know, 6:30 Wednesday morning at the bus stop. I'll give out some tracts. Okay, so I got that plate spinning and oh, man, that's right. We got this conference going on that I'm taking the family to, you know, and it's a really great conference. I don't want to miss that. So I got to, whoa, I got to keep this one spinning and this one spinning. Have you ever felt exhausted? And, you know, these are all good things. But, you know, we try to keep all, and then on top of that, we've got our job. We've got our family time. We've got vacation. We've got the duties that we have to do around the house to keep this fixed or that washed or the other thing. And sometimes we just are at the point of a nervous breakdown because we are terrified of failure. We're terrified that one of those plates are going to drop off, because if it does, it means we're not being the Christian we ought to be. And we are stressing ourselves out rather than walking in the grace of God. Now, all of these things are wonderful things. But, you know, if we think that God's acceptance of us and approval of us is based on whether we can keep all of those plates spinning at the same time, and we're trying to earn that, we're just going to collapse. You see, people do it all the time. They get burned out. And God wants those things to be a part of our life, but he wants to do it by his grace, by his Holy Spirit, so that we're drawn to his word simply because it fills us and enlightens us, and we get joy out of that. We pray because we can't think we don't want to miss being in his presence. It's just as natural as breathing. I don't breathe because, you know, the book says if you don't breathe, you'll die. I just do it. I just wake up, you know, start breathing. Actually, I think I wake up, I'm already breathing.